welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my loves. How's everybody today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Welcome to this journey of recovery and of pain and of struggle and of triumph and of all the things. And today we certainly have an example of that with Suzanne. My good God. Wait till you hear Suzanne. I don't know how to express my gratitude and my awe that I get to participate in helping people, in hearing people, in walking this life with people like Suzanne. Because, you know, like, what the hell? Like, you don't wish when you're a little kid to grow up and be a chronic pain psychotherapist and teacher and author. You don't really kind of wish for that. You don't know that's a wish. And that's just the way my life has rolled. And I arrive here and I say to myself, holy shit, I get to do this. It's unbelievable to me. Because all I'm doing is living my life out loud, and somehow you guys are picking up the baton and being willing to do the work and then to live yours out loud. So I'm not going to do much intro for Suzanne, because what I'm going to do here is that I'm going to share her SpeakPipe, and then I'm going to share our interview. She came to me via SpeakPipe. I listened and I thought, I need to know more about this story. Things like mold toxicity and chronic Lyme are things I hear about a lot. Haven't highlighted them much in the podcast. And so those two things kind of caught my attention, but her story is so much more than that. And she's such an inspiration, and she's also so freaking smart and cool. And as you'll be able to hear in the podcast, I also really want to find her husband and interview him for his part of this story, because I know so many of you out there are also caregivers, people who are dealing with others in chronic illness, and as Suzanne calls it, those who are long suffering. And so much is here. So much is here. And I'm going to share all of that with you today. Just a couple of notes. Just one is that I have my online membership, my private membership community, and we are in the process of beginning the second round of it. If you want to join me, if you want to be with me, this is the only way I've found to actually spend time with people, because it's just the onslaught of texts and emails and DMs and requests I get are just overwhelming. So this is my answer, which is, if you would like my personal help, join my online membership community. Go to thecureforchronicpain.com, scroll down a bit, you'll see the link to sign up. It's $99 a month. For that $99, you get a 3-hour Zoom with me, a new lesson every month with our community, which includes community building, doing the work together, Q&A with me. You get an additional hangout with me once a month where I'm going to just answer your questions. It's going to be chill. We're literally just going to Zoom together. I get to know you personally, answer your questions. And also, there is an online private community that I host, only available to members, where people are talking and sharing, and I am also answering questions. So that is something I can offer you, and sign up if that's something that you need, if that's help that I can give you. I know Omega is over. We're already planning for next summer in July, but this is something I can do for you now. So if you are needing that, please take advantage. And of course, tons of other stuff available. Go to my website, click on the resources tab. All right, my lovelies, I can't wait to share this interview and experience with you. I'm going to start with Suzanne's SpeakPipe, and then we'll move to her interview. An incredible story of resilience, a celebration of the human spirit. Nothing less. Enjoy.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Suzanne, and you are welcome to use any of this for your podcast or anything else. I am 2 years, as of April 27th, into my recovery, and consider myself recovered. April 27th was the first day I listen to a mind body podcast. I've done your work and several other mind body modalities for the last 2 years. And I consider myself recovered after 13 plus years of widespread, debilitating, life-altering symptoms. Several diagnoses, including Lyme disease, mold toxicity, porphyria. I've dropped all of them and consider myself to be a healthy, active person. I've left a couple of speak pipes free before. One of them was this winter. I had the greatest setback I've had in 2 years. I have had several, but the one in the winter was significant. And I was in a time of fear and darkness. And I left a speak pipe just kind of saying, what do I do? And you answered my question, not directly to me, but through your subsequent podcasts. And I stuck with it. I stuck with journal speak, with other mind body techniques that I have, and I got myself out of it. And there is just no shadow of a doubt left after that, that this is the way for me and so many others. So I wanted to record today because passing that 2 year mark is so significant for me after how impacted my life, our life as a family, my marriage. My husband was my caregiver for over a decade. I mean, you can imagine, you've worked with so many people, and the podcasts and interviews that have meant the most to me are those who are familiar with what I call long suffering, just this year in, year out slog through chronic pain and chronic illness. My symptoms were so widespread and lasted so many years. I felt like I was beyond help and hope. And at that 2 year mark, I just had the thought of like, you know, I just have kind of settled back into regular life, and life feeling good feels normal, which is amazing. But I don't want those 13 years to be wasted. I would like them to mean something. I struggled to know how to share my journey with people. I get a lot of strange looks, or sort of the feeling that people think like, oh, well, she just must have not been very sick, because that wouldn't work for me. So I just leave you with an offering, I guess. I'm sure that you get thousands of these and many, many people offering to be on the podcast or whatnot, but I am happy to be open with my story. I feel like I came back from the dead, and I would love to share it with anyone who is currently stuck in bed feeling beyond help and hope. So I am here. I am living. I am active. I am recovered. Like you say every week in your podcast, I still deal with stuff. I still feel things. There's no cure for the human condition. And what your work and Curable and Dan Buglio, all of what you offered me was a different way to think about it. And that was everything for me. When things come up, I just have a different way to approach it and think about it, and changed my life. So thank you so much for what you do. It's just an offering. But I love and appreciate every interview you do in your podcast. So whether it's me or someone else, it is benefiting the community, and I love it. I show up every week. Thanks so much.
Hello, everybody. Today I am here with Suzanne. Welcome, Suzanne.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Nicole.
I am so thrilled to have you. Suzanne and I were talking a bit before we jumped on air, and she was telling me, wow, there are some things we're going to talk about today that I have not yet had the privilege of talking about on this podcast, and I'm actually really excited to get into it because I think we're going to help a lot of people. So Suzanne, I'm going to hand it over to you. I can't wait to hear your story and all the parts of it.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. This is just a little bit surreal for me because when I was in the beginning of my recovery, these interviews were such a lifeline for me to listen to. And so to be on this end of things where I can maybe give some hope to others, I'm just so grateful. Such a gift. So
love it.
Okay. Well, like so many people who eventually find this work, I can track TMS back to my childhood. And once you really know about it and understand it, it's pretty easy to identify it throughout your childhood as well. And I was no exception to that. But the very intense portion of my TMS experience, the period of time that just really debilitated me and altered my life, our lives, my family's life for so many years, that part lasted over 13 years. So I'm 41 now, and I've been recovered for 2 years. So if you do the math, you know, you can work out that I was very debilitated by symptoms for most of my adult life.
Right.
So, you know, as you can imagine, it's tough to summarize 13 plus years and just all of the trauma that was a part of that and that I'm still processing, but I'm going to do my best, and you are welcome to stop me and ask me to dig deeper into any part of it. I just want to be an open book. So
great.
So some things that were kind of unique about this experience is that I ended up calling it long suffering, meaning it just went on and on and on and on. And I've listened to so many of your podcasts and hear people talk about their pain, their back pain, their headaches for a year or two or three. And that, of course, is so devastatingly long to be in pain. And, you know, being in pain for any amount of time, especially at that high level of intensity, is just devastating. When you hit 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, it just does such a toll, takes such a toll on your mental health, your mental stability. And what that looked like for me, probably between years 8 and 13, I felt very mentally and emotionally raw all the time.
So wait, before I let you go on, Suzanne, yeah. I want you to tell people and me, what exactly were your symptoms? What was going on?
Yes. Okay. So the list was very long. So these symptoms sort of encompassed my whole body. I just felt like every system in my body was affected by this illness that had control of me. The sheer range of symptoms just kind of had our heads spinning for over a decade. So I had very intense and violent gut symptoms, which later was categorized as IBS, to the point where there was a period of time I was receiving IV nutrition and medication.
Wow. Okay.
Lots of my weight going up and down because of that. The gut symptoms were often the most debilitating for me. What scared me the most, I had a lot of neurological symptoms. So, dizziness, blurred vision, ringing in my ears, sort of this metallic taste in my mouth. I had lots of tremors, like muscle tremors. I would hear myself describe things to doctors and think, gosh, this sounds like lunacy. I feel like I have hot water running down my face. I feel like I have ants crawling on my hands and feet. I feel like my brain isn't connected to my body. Like it takes too long for the message from my brain to get to the part of my body that I need to move. Word recall problems, those were very frightening to me. When those really kicked into gear, I felt terrified.
I want to just bring connection for a moment that a lot of these symptoms, because they're so bizarre and disparate, remind me of Gary's interview that I had with Gary from New Zealand when he was diagnosed with long COVID.
Yes.
And I think a lot, and this is why I want to like bring it up right now, because we're obviously in the midst of a long COVID epidemic, that so many long COVID symptoms are following this bizarre trajectory. And that word recall thing was really serious for Gary. I don't know if you heard that interview.
Yes.
And can obviously be terrifying. And so I'm very fascinated. So you went on and on and you had all these really bizarre symptoms. And did they find a diagnosis for you?
Yes. So, you know, as you know, if you're going to look hard enough, you'll find something. So, and I, of course, I also had a lot of pain, a lot of joint pain, and then a lot of skin stuff, blisters, rashes, hives, yeast infection, urinary tract infection. It just migrated and traveled very intensely all over my body. My first diagnosis that I received was fibromyalgia, and I think you know you're in trouble when that's your first diagnosis. That was the first thing they said.
I don't mean to laugh, but you're right. Usually, like, that's down the line.
Yes. I learned that later. You know, at the time, I mean, I had two babies. We were broke. We had already spent so much money chasing after answers, trying different things. When I got that diagnosis, it felt like a relief. It was like, oh, we have a direction. Until I kind of learned that, well, that direction
is nothing.
We don't know what to do. You know, I think they put me on an antidepressant. I was told, you know, try to relax more, which is decent advice. But at the time, I mean, I was just so bereft, so ill, so impacted by these symptoms. And so we kept searching, my husband and I, and my husband was by my side through all of it. He saw the worst of it. And we were raising little kids at the time. And so we tried to be a team through this. And I was diagnosed with a connective tissue disease, which it falls under the category of autoimmune disorders.
Okay.
Because they were looking for sort of to bring sense to this widespread traveling systemic thing I had going on. And again, not really anything to do about it. By this time, I had traveled to a couple of different states looking for help, looking for relief. And I had a friend recommend that I be tested for Lyme disease. And I found a doctor. I live in Northern Washington, so I found a doctor in Seattle. And sure enough, positive test. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden I felt so much better.
Yes.
I had this diagnosis that made sense and this blood work to show it, you know, with fibromyalgia and the connective tissue disease, I had no evidence. I had this blood work and it made sense. And I could, and there was a treatment, you know, so I my symptoms lessened, didn't go away, but lessened. And I really hit that treatment hard, which may be different now, but at the time, about 11 years ago, was high-dose antibiotics.
Yeah. As far as I know, it still is.
Yeah. So I did some through IV. I did many oral. I mean, there were times I was on three or four antibiotics at a time. So many supplements. And if anyone has been on that road of chronic Lyme, the supplements, thousands and thousands of supplements. So I did all kinds of diets chasing a cure from Lyme disease. I was told I also had several co-infections, and that I also had neurological Lyme, which would explain all the neurological symptoms. And boy, that can really scare you when a picture is painted for you of you have these bugs in your brain.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty frightening.
Very. These bugs in your brain. And I mean, you just, the images that come to mind when you're told that are very frightening. And so, you know, I felt some immediate relief when I received that diagnosis because we had a plan. And I started to be able to see my life coming back to me. You know, at the time we had two children, we have two children. We'd hope to have more. Maybe we could have more kids.
Right.
Maybe we could buy a house again. You know, in the process of all this, we lost a house. We had tremendous medical debt. You can, you know, you can infer what that level of stress was like.
And right. Of course.
And did
yeah.
to my TMS, losing a house, two babies, giving up these hopes and dreams along the way. And the Lyme diagnosis allowed me to kind of, I could see hope for myself again. And that after a few months, I mean, it kind of all fell through my hands again, like sand. It just, I mean, the symptoms just came back with vengeance.
Well, yeah, and I mean, just for anyone out there who is either new or, you know, still learning about this work, the reason that Suzanne had pain cessation when she got these diagnoses is because the whole basis of this pain, the genesis of this pain, is nervous system dysregulation. And when we get something, a piece of information that makes us feel a little bit safe and gives us a little bit of hope and makes us feel like, oh, wait, maybe everything's going to be okay, that temporarily regulates our nervous systems and brings us from long-term chronic fight or flight to moments of rest and repair, which is what Suzanne was experiencing when her symptoms went down. But then after taking all these medications and supplements and having it not be, quote, the answer, then the nervous system goes back into super fight or flight because they're like, wait a second, that didn't even help. And that's why the symptoms came back with a vengeance. So first of all, honey, I'm so sorry that happened to you because that's so hard. That's so hard and that's so much. But I also like it just is it just such a perfect demonstration of how this mind-body connection works.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And at the time, it makes so much sense now. But at the time, I had no schema for that. I had no language for that. It just felt so cruel.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I had this answer and we thought we might get our lives back because at that point, the level of symptoms and intensity I was experiencing, it had completely taken over our lives. And then it was gone. And we were back in this cycle of looking for answers. You know, for a while, the first few years, I was afraid I was dying.
Right. Yeah.
I described the feelings, the symptoms I had as I feel like I've been poisoned. Something terribly, just utter emergency is happening in my body and no one can help me. And it got very difficult when I realized, oh, it's not going to kill me. I just have to live like this.
Right.
And I have these two kids to raise and we've spent so much money, I have to work. And it was a very desperate feeling. We kept chasing answers because I was very clear on, I cannot live like this. This is impossible. I mean, this is not sustainable, what I am experiencing. And so we kept searching. I went to many doctors. I was just on the treadmill of the medical model, whether it be Western medicine, natural, spiritual, just at a full sprint for 13 years. And we, you know, went from one thing to the next. Really, nothing much helped. Very strict elimination diets, very strict, which really re-triggered the eating disorder I dealt with in high school.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It sure did. I saw an exorcist.
Oh my God.
I had people surround me. I mean, complete despair. Just, I just needed relief so badly and could not find it anywhere. And so I through different doctors and modalities, I was diagnosed with, okay, you've got this extreme environmental sensitivity, extreme food sensitivity, mold toxicity. So you can see your world just keeps getting smaller and smaller. Now oh my God, what's going to happen if I'm around mold? I already feel like this. Can it get worse? You know, so you start to try to protect yourself from exposure to mold, exposure to environmental toxins. You try to make your world, your diet, anything you're around and consuming as pure as possible. And it's very
limiting. Imagine the fear upon fear upon fear,
right?
That like leaves your nervous system in that space, like backed into a corner, literally.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, fear was the default. It honestly still is. I manage it a lot better knowing what I know, but my nervous system will default to fear very often. And so for that to kind of be where my nervous system tended to move and then be told all these terrifying things. Yes, you hit the nail on the head. There was a lot of fear. So mold toxicity, environmental toxins. I was diagnosed with something called porphyria, which I did just these very expensive, rare treatments that damaged me because I didn't need them. I just left feeling these treatments just worse than I went in, but I was working so hard to get better. I looked at my life and I have these two beautiful children. And when things really hit the fan, my son was a newborn. He was a baby. And that baby's now 15. So that gives you an idea of how long we were in that space of struggle. These two beautiful children, I am married to just the most beautiful soul. I was working a job that I'm a teacher. I'd wanted to be a teacher since I was in third grade. I did not hate my life. I did not want to escape my life, but I could not live that way. I did think about just the desire of what if it all just stopped? And, you know, thoughts of suicide definitely crossed my mind in some ways. It gave me a bit of a feeling of power. And it just felt so dark. And we had searched so hard and so long. And the pandemic hit. That's the same segue I hear so many people use in so many podcasts. And then the pandemic hit.
Right. If things couldn't possibly get worse, then
right.
The pandemic hit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to back up just for a moment because I started to experience some good stretches. And by a stretch, I'll say, you know, a week, maybe a few weeks where I would all of a sudden feel better, not great, not 100%, but I would feel better. And it seemingly was random. I felt like it was at the time. My husband and I had these just insane looking calendars around the house where we would track symptoms. I mean, barometric pressure, weather.
Right. Like trying to say like, what is it? What is it that makes me better? Yeah, totally.
What did you eat? You know, and any time I would go from feeling better to then I would call it a flare. It was immediately, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just looking at what,
shame.
Okay, what did I eat? What did I eat? What did I drink? What did I, what was I exposed to? Did I, you know, just any wrong move I was looking for it to bring reason to why I would crash. And when I say crash, I mean, I would go from functioning to bedridden. Very
right.
quickly, because those neural pathways in my mind had a lot of practice.
Right.
And my brain and nervous system could just take me down that path so fast. So when I would feel it starting to happen, I would panic because I knew what was coming. I felt like I knew what was coming. I would kind of brace myself. How bad is it going to get? How long is it going to last? Will I be able to care for my children? Will I have to take time off of work? Where the mind goes, which I was making myself more afraid. I felt like I was trying to be prepared. And so these times of getting a little better and then crashing felt very frustrating, very confusing. And when I found TMS work, it became evidence. Like, okay.
Right.
Well, now I get it, because I had been introduced to the some brain retraining programs, some neurotransmitter retraining programs. And I very much believed in that. I teach that at school to children. We can rewire our brains. This is very exciting, neuroplasticity. And it was not, it was a factor of evidence for me that sometimes I would do it and I would feel better, or it would get me through something I had coming up that I needed to do.
Right.
And then other times it wouldn't work, you know, so it would be very frustrating. And now I can see, okay, you know, I think the way you say it is, the problem is, the solution is not in your body.
Oh, right, right. The pain is not in your head, but the solution is not in your body, right?
Yes, yes. It was like, okay, the solution is in my brain. I'm seeing glimpses of that. And the other little evidence piece I had that at the time felt very confusing was I in the midst of this, in the midst of some really dark years, I picked up snowboarding.
Okay.
That just sounds crazy. You've heard me list all these symptoms and just how sick I would be, you know, in bed days, weeks at a time sometimes. And there was one weekend where I was kind of on an up, and my husband has snowboarded for years, and our kids had a rare weekend with grandparents. And he said, we have a mountain about a little over an hour away, beautiful mountain. He said, I want to teach you how. Let's seize the day. We don't know what tomorrow will hold for you, but you feel okay in this moment. Let's go. So we borrowed
some
snowboards.
Good for you for saying yes.
That is huge. I said yes. Yes, I said no to a lot. And I, as the years progressed and I was trying to figure out how to just live with this thing, I would say yes when I felt like I could, which was rare. But when it happened, I would really say yes. And there was a lot of fear around it. But we went up. I, of course, you know, looked ridiculous, but, you know, just did the rope toe a few times, but learned how to snowboard. And in the following couple of years, you know, I would, the day before snowboarding, I mean, in bed, you know, maybe vomiting, unable to eat, pounding head, blisters on my skin, you know, all the symptoms really raging. And we would drive up to the mountain, you know, my husband would have to pull over, and I'd use the little mountain road outhouse, you know, and just feeling awful the whole way. And I'd get to the top of that mountain and I could get myself down.
That is incredible. I need to stop here and just like sit with this for a moment.
Yes.
First of all, I just want to bring some attention to the beauty of the human spirit, because you, I'm sure, were very dark, and I'm hearing these symptoms and I want to like lay down in the ground with you. I mean, this mm-hmm. is like really, really tough stuff. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you were willing to, I mean, I want everybody out here to listen, everybody listening. I want you to hear this. She's vomiting. She's got blisters on her skin. Her head is pounding, and she is willing to go and try to snowboard because she knows that she has done it in the past and it has opened something up. And these are the moments of faith that I want to fertilize in people. Because see, I think that the biggest barrier to opening yourself to TMS healing is inability to move, literally. Mm-hmm. Like inability to get yourself to open to a possibility that things could be different. Because when you start moving, even if it's just energetic moving, even if it's just the thought of something, instead of being so stuck, that can open you to what's next. And I love that you were willing to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It's very validating. It was hard at the time. I mean, even sometimes, oftentimes getting up, brushing my teeth, showering, getting dressed, it was all hard. All of it was hard. But yes, it did. I like you said, I was like, I've done this before. I know my body can do this. And I'd get on the chairlift and I would be in this beautiful place and I'd be a part of this amazing thing in my community. So many people in our community ski and snowboard because of where we live. And I would get myself down that mountain and feel alive, and symptoms would still be present, but I could do it. And I the way I described it was to my husband, I just said, it's like it distracts my brain enough that I can't think about the symptoms. I'm having to think about how to get myself down that mountain.
Right. Yes.
And I was describing TMS actually, but I didn't have
you didn't know it yet. Right, yes. right. So how did you amidst all of this turn the corner into TMS? I want to remind you that you said, and then the pandemic hit. So what
and
happened then?
The pandemic hit. Okay. So when the pandemic hit, I was moved to online teaching, and I just absolutely was miserable in that job. I've been a teacher for a long time. I left teaching for a number of years when I first got sick. When I went back, I was still very much struggling, but it was like I reclaimed this piece of my identity. Mm-hmm. And then online teaching just felt like I'd lost it again. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, no way to gauge if I was doing it well, teaching to a screen of black boxes, cameras off, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, for a year alone, and I had been moved to a position that was fully online, and I was hurt.
What do you teach, Suzanne?
I teach elementary school. Yeah. This year I'm teaching fifth grade. That year I was teaching fourth and fifth.
Oh my God. Teaching little kids. I can't even imagine online.
So things got very challenging for me with the TMS, the symptoms, just one right after the other. We were spending so much money every month just on a single appointment. I mean, sometimes a doctor would charge $400 an hour.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I was so tremendously desperate. No amount of money, you know, I will try anything. Just please help me. And I've heard people refer to it as Dr. Google still 13 years in. I was Googling, looking for answers, just someone help me. I've got to pull myself out of this pit. And Instagram picked up what I was researching and started to feed me, hey, maybe you'd be interested in this person's account.
One good thing about social media.
Yes. So I downloaded a like body podcast, and I listened to that podcast, and it's the Curable app podcast. I was standing in the kitchen, just barely on my feet, I think I was melting cheese on English muffins just to provide some sort of dinner for my children so I could go lay back down. My husband was out for a run. I was listening to this podcast, and this woman's story, her symptoms did not match mine, but the science behind what she was experiencing, my mind was blown. And I texted my husband and I said, I'm listening to this podcast. I think I'm onto something, but I'm so desperate. I almost feel willing to jump onto any bandwagon. Would you listen to this for me?
Right. So, like, I need validation that I'm not crazy.
Yes. So he at the time was training for a marathon. So he went running again the next day and he downloaded it. And Nicole, he came back in tears.
Oh.
And he it makes me a little emotional. Because
I'm gonna cry. I love him.
our lives changed that moment. Our lives changed. And I had been waiting for that life-changing moment for so many years. And after 13 years, I was devoid of hope. And my husband was not. He held on to hope for us, for me. And he just kind of wrapped me in a hug and he said, this is it. You've got to go all in. You have to go all in. And
I have such chills. Like literally, I have such appreciation for partnerships like this of support and love.
Yes. And I know not everyone has that. He is a gift. We got married very young and I'm very thankful for his support because I think even good spouses may not have hung in there with me.
No, it's hard. And obviously you're a gift too, because a person who supports another person does not exist in a vacuum. So obviously mm-hmm. you are also a tremendous gift to him and your children that he was able to stand by and support you like that.
Thank you. It was a team effort. For sure, a team effort. So I did. And the strange gift of online teaching was I had more time. I did not have 30 children in front of me all day.
Right.
So I really dove into the podcasts. And that is how I found your work, Nicole. You were interviewed on the Curable podcast.
I was. I was interviewed on that podcast the week before the world closed.
Oh my goodness.
It was late February, right before COVID. Yep. I was in Chicago.
Yes. So I listened to that and I loved how I remember the story you told about your son and the drugstore and the Halloween party and the stomach stuff, because that was such a big part of my journey. And it gave me a tool. It was like, okay, I believe in this science. I am behind this. This makes sense to me. What do I do? Someone tell me what to do. So I started to journal speak and I just kept listening to podcasts. I picked up yours, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I think I've listened to all of them.
Wow. Good for you.
It was a binge listening situation. I just could not get enough because I just opened my everything. It was like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
That they all came together.
Amazing.
And I want to be really clear because when I first started listening to your podcast and doing this work, I often was looking for someone with my exact set of symptoms. And those symptoms, I wanted them to behave exactly like mine. So I could know for sure that
this a lot of people want
work
that
for me. Yes.
And
many of them weren't. I certainly had a ton of pain, and pain dictated a lot of my movement, but it was never acute. And it was never my main complaint, I guess I should say. Whereas other systems in my body were screaming so loudly, the pain was secondary to that. And so I heard a lot of podcasts about pain or acute pain or migraines, and I had to kind of get past that. I'm looking for this one person who has exactly my thing, and they got better, so that means I can get better. I just got started. I decided this is the right thing for me, and I immediately felt some relief, but I had many setbacks. So the beautiful gift that this work gave to me, well, a recovering healing, that's the beautiful gift, but it gave me a different way to think about my symptoms when they got bad. So when they got bad, instead of becoming terrified, how bad is it going to get? How long am I going to, do I need to line up childcare? Do I need to this? I just could say, I know what's happening,
right,
and I know what to do about it, and my nervous system will regulate mm-hmm. when it's ready.
Right. Yes, indeed. When it feels like you are safe.
Yes, when it's ready, and it will happen. And those first few setbacks, I'm spanning the first several months of my recovery, there were some hard times because I realized how quickly my brain could flip that switch, how quickly my nervous system could flip that switch. And the symptoms were instantly severe.
Yeah.
There was no buildup. It was just, I could be okay. I've done my journal speak. I've done my meditation. I've done some other work. And then later that afternoon, I'm in bed, you know, and I just kept plugging away at it. My husband, there were a couple times he just said, please don't give up. Please, this is it. Please keep going.
Right,
We've already seen a difference. And there were a number of times I refer to it as I would sort of borrow his nervous system.
Oh, I love that.
Because his personality, and I think out of necessity over the last, you know, many years, he is quite a regulated person, and he would just kind of get as calm as he could, and I would be struggling, you know, freaking out, to put it honestly, like, oh my God, it's getting bad again. And he would kind of just state truth to me. This is what's happening. This is what you're experiencing. This is what we're going to do about it. And it helped get me through those first several months of setbacks, because there was a lot of up and down. There really was a lot of up and down at first.
I'm having two thoughts now. The first thought I'm having is I'm remembering that when I first started teaching this work a million and a half years ago, first of all, science hadn't caught up yet. So I didn't have the amount of evidence that I have now about brain science that's being talked about everywhere, from Harvard to Hopkins to NYU. You know, I mean, now it's to USC, across the country, it's everywhere. But it wasn't 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I first started teaching this, because I graduated with my master's in 2000, so it's been a minute, I used to say, listen to me. And this is, I didn't have any podcast or book or anything. I was literally speaking to the person in front of me, and I'd say, I am certain. I am living this. You can believe me. And if you can't, you can borrow my belief. I used to be like, let me hand it to you. So you borrowed your husband's nervous system. I used to tell people to borrow my belief. That's the first thing. And the second thing I'm thinking is, I want to have your husband on this podcast. I need to interview someone that can help the caregivers, because it is so hard to be the person supporting somebody and to be able to hold that line for them. So anyway, he'll be hearing from me.
Good. He will. He will jump on here. You will want to hear his perspective. And he's just a gem of a person. So, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, sorry to interrupt you. So
no.
your husband, so it's the first few months, it's ups and downs. So take us from there.
It was. So I was doing the work, you know, big perk of being a teacher. You get summers off. And we did things that first summer I had not imagined I could do in years. We went on a road trip. I went for some runs, some jogs, and we went hiking. I hiked, backpacking. We just did a lot. And I'm not going to lie, I had symptoms throughout those first months and in that summer. And there were times that they scared me. And there were times that, I wanted to crawl into bed, and there were probably some times I gave in to that and did, but I just kept pressing on, and I saw more and more evidence. This is working for me. Things are changing. I started the school year back in the classroom and did very well. I was nervous about going back after a year and a half of teaching online.
Of course.
And it went very well. And I started to be able to use journal speak as a tool that I would bring out when I needed it. You know, I talked to my students about having strategies in their toolbox, and when you need it, you pull it out. So I would pull out this strategy of journal speak when I knew something big was coming up, when I was having symptoms, or when I was just feeling a lot. You know, my personality, I would have denied this years ago, but part of what allowed me to recover was just embracing who I am. And I tend to run as more of a high stress, what some people call type A.
Yeah, same.
High anxiety, lots of pressure, self-criticism. And I am still very much myself, but I am constantly working on that. And just when the self-criticism comes up, I notice it. When the anxiety comes up, I notice it. And I also know the effect it has on my body. That was hard for me to wrap my mind around because my symptoms were so physical. It was so physical that I had such a hard time understanding how this experience I had when I was a kid or in high school, or the way that I handle stress or the way I interact with people, could make me so sick I need an IV for nutrition.
Right,
and the brain science that you describe in your podcast brought clarity to that for me. So I'm embracing these personality traits, and I was doing so well. I was able to, you know, eat normally. I mean, I kind of decided I am not going to, you know, no food is off limits.
Yes.
No drink is off. I went to a staff party and had two glasses of wine for the first time in 15 years. I mean,
you must have been loaded.
Oh my gosh. I know. Wouldn't you love to see that? Ordering pasta off of a menu, you know, just feeling so free. And then this past Christmas, we traveled to Mexico, and it was a family trip with my mom and my stepdad. And I came back with something. A virus, an intestinal virus.
Right.
And
which of course happens. Like, not everything in the world is TMS. Like, we get things. So, like,
yes.
But I get it. That can be a real trigger.
It was a trigger. And I went into the trip feeling a little triggered. I knew exactly what was going on because we had done this same trip with my mom and stepdad about 4 years previous, when I was still very in the throes of illness. And that trip was so hard. I was just so ill. It was a lot of me laying in a hotel room in bed while my family went out and experienced a vacation. And I was very excited for this trip coming up in December of 2022. Very excited. You know, the kids were pumped. And I had a lot of TMS symptoms come up that I knew. I mean, my body just – I was – replaying the story of the previous time I had been there in Mexico. And I started to get very nervous about the trip. What's it going to be like? So I went into the trip managing. I was definitely experiencing symptoms. I was doing a lot of journal speak and meditation to help myself process those feelings. Had a great trip. And came back and brought something back with me. Got sick when I came back. And as you said, that happens. You know, people get viruses. Not everything is TMS. But as I was laying on the bathroom floor and laying in bed, it just felt so familiar. Yeah. And it just lit up those neural pathways. It just lit them up. And I could tell when the virus ended – and TMS, it just picked up. I felt very ill, but I knew I no longer had a virus. I knew, like, oh, wow, okay, we're dealing with something else here. And I had called and left you another speak pipe, Nicole, kind of like, help me, Nicole, what do I do? You know, my brain just kind of switched back to this state of fear. It was like, oh, right. That's what it's like. Oh, God. No. You know,
I know. That's tough.
It was tough. It felt very scary. And there was a podcast you did where you did not directly answer my question, but talked about like wear it loosely. Just
yes,
it's a loose garment. I'm not going to say it as articulately as you do, but I just would listen, and I did the work, and I tried to be very patient. And I don't know if this is true for everyone. You, having talked to so many people in these situations, would know better than me. But it was almost like the less I could care about it, the softer the symptoms started to get.
Oh yeah,
and it was like just okay. This is how we feel today, and I feel very bad, and this is how it's going to be, and it's all right, and this is going to shift at any time, and I'm just going to keep suggesting to my nervous system that we are okay, and things are going to get better, and it was not easy. So I really want to just empathize with anyone who's listening to this saying, but how? It hurts so bad, or I feel so awful. How do I not care? It was not easy. And by then I had been practicing this for almost 2 years. So even at 2 years, it was hard. And things just slowly started to slough back off. The gut stuff got better, the headaches, the joint pain, the skin started to clear. And that was at that point I called you and said, okay, you know, any shadow of a doubt that I've had in the last 2+ years that I've been doing this is gone, because I was in bad shape after that virus. And I got myself out. I pulled myself out with this work.
So when Suzanne says she called me, just for all of you people now seething with jealousy that she has my phone number, what she means is that she speak piped me.
Yes, thank you.
That is why she's on the podcast today, because I received a speak pipe from Suzanne and it said, you know, I had mold toxicity, I had chronic Lyme, and she didn't even mention the bevy of other things that now I know about, having spoken to her for the past 45 minutes. And she said, and I recovered with journal speak, and then I had a dark moment, which I like to hear people's stories of recovery is not a straight line, because it's not. My recovery wasn't a straight line, yours wasn't, and rarely is it. And so I want people to always find themselves somewhere energetically in these conversations. And she said, and I had a dark moment last winter, and I pulled myself out of it. And that line that you just said really stuck with me. And now there is not a shadow of a doubt that this is all TMS. And so as we wrap today, Suzanne, where do I find you today? How's your life? Like, what can you do? Do you consider yourself recovered? Like, what's your mindset?
Thank you for asking that. I consider myself recovered. And the language I adopted was I considered myself recovered when I started the work. That was just sort of the mindset I adopted
it.
Of like, I am, yes, I'm recovering, but I'm always recovering. I'm still recovering.
It's a lifelong recovery of life.
Recovering from life. But, you know, I just was like, I am recovered. And that language I've tried to stick with, even with the setbacks, which there have been several. And the big setback that I had last winter, I didn't let myself consider that I wasn't recovered. So what life looks like for me, I am teaching. I teach full time. We have 2 kids. I am I'm involved in their life. We have 15 and a 12-year-old, 15-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter. My husband and I both work in education, so when summers come, we are able to be very active, and I can make plans. We are leaving tomorrow to go to a concert out of town. We can make travel plans. My husband and I together 2 weekends ago ran a half marathon.
Oh my God! My God, Suzanne, you buried the lead. That's crazy. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I had enjoyed running before symptoms, before TMS, before kids. And it was, has been a joy to bring that back into my life. But at the same time, Nicole, as I mentioned, I'm still myself. I still deal with anxiety. I have symptoms that come up. I still run high stress. I want things to be perfect when they're not. I worry. And I just, you know, you say invite them into the kindergarten rug, and that makes sense to me because I have that rug in my classroom and we sit on it every day. Like, everyone come in, like the neuroses, the obsessiveness, like, here we are. This is me.
Yes.
And I'm constantly working on that and working towards goodness and working towards improvement. And, you know, I didn't talk much about my childhood and adolescence, but there's stuff there that I still am thinking about managing, processing, as we all have in our upbringing. And it's still all a part of me, but I have tools to help myself and consider myself to be recovered from 13 plus years of intense symptoms.
Well, Suzanne, that is incredibly amazing. I am so thrilled to have been able to spend the last hour with you and hear your story and hear about your relationship. Like I said, I will be hitting your husband up. And those of you listening to this podcast, if he's willing, I would love to have him on. So you'll hear that too if he says yes. Because I want people to understand not only is this possible in terms of recovery, it's really a family disease. Because everyone is suffering when one person in the family is suffering that much. And for us to be able to rally around each other and to be the hope and to be the source of strength is so unique. And so I just love your story. And I thank you so much for coming on and sharing this hope with everyone.
Indeed. There's really nowhere I rather would have been the last hour. Thank you.
Well, you guys, I am thrilled to have brought these words in, which are mold toxicity and chronic Lyme, only because, like Suzanne said, it doesn't really matter how your symptom is showing up in your body. Sometimes people need to hear their symptom. So anytime I get a chance to show somebody and this and that, right, I'm highlighting other things, not just the back pain, the migraines, the fibro, all of it. It's all the same, but it doesn't matter. Everybody needs to hear that. So thank you also for bringing those diagnoses in, because everyone needs somewhere to be identified.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, everybody out there, thank you for joining us. Suzanne, it's been a pleasure. And if you are enjoying this podcast, of course, I always ask if you could hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really, really helps me. And it helps people like Suzanne find the podcast, and we all need it. And until next week, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I will see you then. Bye-bye.